This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Efforting Jay Caulfield at the moment. Bob, your impressions of the Penguins game last night. Welcome back, I might add, out there to Pomp and Joe.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. I thought they played well. They limited New Jersey, a fast team, to 21 shots, I think they got. I thought Nedeljkovic played well. They killed off a four-minute disadvantage. A lot of good things. The problem is they only scored two goals. And they trailed 2-0 before they responded with those two goals. And you got to get more production. Other than that, again, they got a point. They need multiple points. They got to go this weekend to New York to take on the Rangers and the Flyers. They need 4 points, period. That's as easy as it can get in terms of what they need to do to climb out of where they are, if you still fancy yourself as a playoff team.
I mean, how could you, really? You're seven points behind the Lightning for the last spot, and they have three games in hand, Bob.
Well, that's the thing. The Penguins have played more games than anyone. Any one of the things the people they're pursuing have played fewer games. So you factor that in, the 7 becomes 10, becomes 11 maybe, and you're legitimately not out of it, which, again, leads to the dialogue about what you do if you're Kyle Dubas.
I think it's quite obvious, and I'll be a Kyle Dubas believer, at least in his mission. I think Raquel is the tipping point here. You keep him, then to me, you're still trying to walk that impossible line of, you know, appeasing Sid with line mates and sort of being in contention and maybe we can do this in a full scale. Let's get this thing moving in the opposite direction, even if we need to take a step back, you know, like major step, a rebuild.
But here's
I'm afraid to say the word like
thing.
He is.
Here's the funny thing about that. We did a poll last night on our nightly sports call about should the Penguins consider trading Ricard Raquel soon?
Yeah.
87% said no.
Really?
Yeah, which I was surprised by that.
I'm going to put out my own poll and see if that matches, Bob.
Yeah,
can
it won't. And I don't know if they're just, you know, because he's having such a good year. That's the whole point. When you have a good year, that's when the stock remains high.
I know. I keep getting messages from people, oh, it'll be, bring a bigger return in the off season. To which I say,
no.
You know he'll be healthy the rest of the year. Like, he's at the highest point of marketability right now. This is why they rest guys.
And this is why teams want players like that down the stretch. You're overpaid for it. Right?
And this is why they rest guys right before the deadline that they're going to trade so they don't get hurt. Trade him now, and that's a compliment to him. All right, let's bring on our friend and yours, brought to us by Tom's Watch Bar, Stanley Cup champion, Jay Caulfield. Jay's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jay, say hello to Bob Pompiani.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Joe. How are you? How you guys doing?
Jay, are you at the range? Where are you?
No, a little work, a little other stuff. Get my workouts done, all the usual stuff, Bob.
Do workouts help with your driver, Jay? Do you feel like the strength translates, or is it more about technique?
I think it's technique, Joe. It's honestly, I've given you names. I've given you from Mario, Pierre, a great friend of ours, Dave Swanson. They've just got great swing.
Swanee can hit the ball.
Great timing through the ball.
My goodness.
Yeah,
good
just
player.
Got great, hey, Bob, they just got great timing through. There's nothing forced. There's no nothing. There's no like aggression at the ball. Not, I don't know. You got to take the anger. You know, they just have a great swing, great tempo. And I know people hear that a lot, but how do you find that tempo, Joe? That's Bob has great tempo. So
that's the eternal question for me. I don't know how to find it. I can't do it. I can't do the driver,
can,
Bob.
It's been four years. It's a terrible four-letter word.
I had a guy analyze my swing the other day. He said, you just did three different swings on your driver. I don't have a swing yet, Jay. And it's really
frustrating.
Well,
you just frustrating. Started playing.
I try to tell him that, Jay, that it takes time. Yeah. This is not something you're going to get just in 2 or 3 years. It takes time.
It's getting worse, Bob. I had a better swing a week into playing.
Joe, you know what? I think you have the ability to shoot a basketball and make free throws and stuff. You have to use the concept. You have to understand something in your mind, what you want to do. But to be able to knock down three free throws and things like that on the basketball court will help you. You should take some of that same thing and translate it to when you're playing golf. You're playing a lot. You want to do it, but you have to have the same mentality, right? That you have to do it. You don't slam the ball against the backboard. You have a nice little release and, hold it, all that kind of thing. But you have to, you should take that, what you do on the basketball court, and apply it to when you're playing golf.
Because I
think
that.
To be able to shoot the basketball and be good at it, you have the mind for those type of things. So you should be able to start doing that. Whatever Bob has to say, anybody around that tells you there are good golfers, great golfers that can help you, apply that then to your mentality, how you shoot the basketball.
I like that. That's actually inspiring.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I think, all joking aside, I think I've turned into Charles Barkley. I read where Jack McCallum reported this, the great NBA writer, that when Barkley started to play golf, he was unbelievable because he wasn't thinking yet.
Yeah.
He would smash the ball. He had nice touch around the greens. And then the longer he played, he started to develop like a tick on his swing, and then he just became a basket case forever. That's where I'm headed, Jay.
Hey, Bob, wouldn't you also say, like, you can't overload yourself with so many different...
No.
Different,
not at all.
People are teaching you
swing
different
thoughts,
things.
I agree. Yeah, and Joe's trying to seek help from a lot of people. Then that's a problem in and of itself, because everyone has a different way of swinging golf.
Are there golf therapists, Bob? Can I go sit on somebody's couch
and just talk? Well, it sounds to me like you need a golf coroner.
I might. Did you ever play with Barkley, Jay?
I was with him at Mario's event. We didn't play, but we were on the range together, and he's really good on the range. I mean, on the range, then he had a different tee time than I did. So he is a really wonderful. When you meet him, he's really not. He's a great guy. It was Mario's event, Bob, and when he used to be at Neverwood.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always be on the range together because he was always working at his game too. And his swing on the range was very, was good for him. You know what I mean? Like, and then he would play and then he would lose it just to what you just talked about. So, but a great swing on the range. And then he's that guy that didn't transfer to the golf course. And then probably had so many thoughts in his head, just as Bob mentioned. And but he's a great guy. And now you see his game starting to come around again. And, he's one thing that's kind of crazy, but he's great for the game. He brings so much, so many people kind of love to see him when he's in that, the celebrity tour when it's in Tahoe. And but it's kind of wild how an athlete like that can lose a part of their game. And he has it. He ends up, I think, affecting every part of his game. But it's tough to deal with. But I do think it's too many thoughts, Joe. I go back to like we just said. You don't get up there and think 10 different things when you're shooting a free throw. You have a couple things that you know you need to do, and how you like to set up, and what is your rhythm before you shoot, take the shot, and then you have to have the same kind of rhythm in golf, and so certain things like in putting, I do the same thing in putting all the time. I don't change what I do putting, so I don't change what I do short game stuff, but for some reason there are other areas of the game where you start to overthink it. And that kind of ruins. And that ruins. You can take that into any sport. You can take it into any role playing hockey. If you ever think what your responsibility is, you're not. You're going to be thinking. You're not reacting anymore. You're done. You're done as an athlete when you do that.
Joe, you're not done, Joe.
Sorry,
worry.
Joe. No, you're not done. Don't take it too harsh.
No, I hear you.
It's, you got to will it, too. You got to believe it. You got to trust yourself. You can't go into there with any apprehensive. Whatever shot you hit, just trust it. Just say, screw it. I'm going to hit it the way I know. I'm not going to worry about the result.
Well, I appreciate that. I do. And let's get to the Penguins, Jay. Let's get to Rickard Rakell. Okay. That's what we were talking about. I think inarguably, he's you would be selling high on Rickard Rakell right now. I don't know if you'd be doing that in the offseason because there's the rest of the season to play. Would you trade him? Do you think that's a good move now to take that step?
You know, Joe, I mean, I understand that thought process. You got to be now. You're dancing on the Sidney Crosby topic that we talked about before. If you and the locker room, I think over the last week, since I believe once it started when Jari went down to the minors, then they make this deal the other day. They bring up a mama, just different players, just different mindsets. And all of a sudden, they're a different-looking team, right? And I also say, you're getting goaltending that's making you, helping you be that as well. I think they're comfortable in front of them. They're playing better hockey. And they're within literally, you run off. The Penguins are the only team that has not run off a great 10-game stretch. Like, if you look at everybody in their conference and who's fighting for the wild card, teams have gone 7-2-1, 7-3, 8-2. The Penguins are the only team in 10-game stretches and segments have not had it. And they're due for one right now. It would have been nice if they got that win last night. That would have been three in a row, blah, blah, blah. Everything goes with it. You're playing Philly three times, you know, a couple times on this in this span of playing Metro Divisions. They can leapfrog and be right there. It's hard to say that if you dismantle, if you just move a Rakell. And I'm not saying you're right that his value. I'm not saying you're wrong about his value being high now. It is. I mean, he's had a great year, and he's doing it in all not only on the scoreboard or on the score sheet as far as goals and assists, but how he's playing the game. And he certainly would be somebody that would is going to draw a lot of attention, and somebody's going to want him who's a true contender. But if you do that, you're literally going to – there's a real fine line right now because they're not so far out, even though they're down in the wild card standings. But if they get on this little run, I think this trip now, I've said this multiple times, you've got seven straight games against the Metro Division. At the end of that seven games, you're going to know where you're going to have an idea where you're at. Truthfully, that, and I think at that time, then they can make a move. Then I don't think anybody could argue if you start to make a move. But right now, before this six remaining games, and I know the break is coming up and the Four Nations, but I think you got to see what they do in the remaining six games against Metro opponents because they're in this fight. They're in this, which is it good? Is it bad? You know, who knows? But the fans are getting behind it. They, you know how that goes. But I think it's a fine line. I think in six games you can make that decision after that.
Yeah.
If they run off a good number here.
That's the key.
If they run off a good number, you're going to think differently. Right. If they don't, then I think Kyle Dubas, he's starting to do the things that he talked about doing. So I think you'll see him pull more.
So, two questions for you, Jay, on that. You have seven games. How many points do you think they need to derive out of those seven? And when we're talking about the games in hand, because this is one of those things I was looking today.
Yeah.
Penguins have played more games, which and that translates into points as well. So, that puts an onus on the seven games.
Right.
Based on that, what do you think they need to do in those seven?
Well, we take the one. Let's say they got one last night, right? So, six remaining of the six games, I believe they play Philly. Don't they play Philly three times in this stretch, too? I think they got Philly three times.
Yep.
The Rangers twice. And who's the remaining? Is it Washington, right? Washington?
I got to check that, yeah.
Yeah, but I think of that, they put themselves in the position where they need, you know, with the seven, truthfully, they need 10 to 11 points. If they get 10 or 11, if they get to 11 points out of the 14, which is hard to do, but if you look at it, they've got Philly, same position as they are. The Penguins are playing better hockey than they are right now. The Penguins need to take care of business one game at a time. We know that. But the Rangers are still vulnerable, but they made that JT Miller trade. They're going to start to play better. I think that's the tough one right there. You got, if they beat the Rangers on Friday night, they're going to roll into Philly feeling as good as they can at this point of the season. So it's a key one. But I do think you can't have less than – you really can't have less than 11 points. And that's asking a lot, but that's what they need to do because they put themselves in this predicament with the start that they had and all the turmoil, everything going on goaltending-wise. But now they need to run it, and they need to run that – you know, they need to finish off. They need the two right away before the break. And then that'll give you good feelings. And then, look, you get general managers getting together over this Four Nations tournament, there's going to be a lot of talk what's going on. But I think if they rattle it off against, remember, four-point game, all those things that go with it, I think that when you look at the schedule and who they have, they got to take care of the big boys in New York, even though they've been flat all year. But they're going to start to rise out of it. And they need to win that game Friday night to get this going.
Mm-hmm.
One more question for Jay Caulfield. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can communicate with our friend Limits on the Edgar Snyder & Associates text line. A personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So, Jay, how do you look back on Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor and their 10 years here, and what'd you think of the deal?
Yeah, I think, first of all, Marcus Pettersson, I think how what he did since he came here, I think he was a player that was, he looked like, you know, I'm not in that locker room, but the way he talked to the press, what he did on the ice, stood up for his teammates, I think that the leadership qualities that he has and what he developed being here, being around Crosby, being around Malkin, Letang, seeing how they handle themselves and what they need to do and how to be successful, I think that's a piece. There's one, you had to get something up. They knew they had some depth in the blue line, and they brought in a big right-handed defenseman that they needed to have something that made them feel that they weren't going to get run over every night, right? So I think that part of it, I think it's really tough to lose a Marcus Pettersson because I think he was truly a guy that answered to the press and stood up for his teammates and did everything and got better and better every year that he was here. So they'll miss that. I think Drew O'Connor, a young talent that I think kind of just went quiet, but they felt they could get you know something back or whatever it might be. But you could almost see that happening. People wanted Drew O'Connor, and they got pieces back. And getting this first-round pick, getting a first-round pick out of this whole deal, to me, really outstanding, if you ask me. That part that goes with it. So I think Kyle Dubas did a great job. And as I said, I think their team, and I like Dan Heinen. I like Dan Heinen when he was here before. He's just a reliable, can move up and down your lineup. He's reliable. I think that's a great pick. It's good to see him back here and see how he fits in. And then also I said the blue line. I think the addition of Desjardins has made Graves in two games. That pairing has been good. So they brought something in, and I think it's changed the dynamic in the locker room. I think you also see what could happen. And all of a sudden, guys' legs, all of a sudden, they're quicker, faster, playing harder, because they don't want to be the guy that's going to get bumped out of here. So that's our thing. I think he did a great job with the deal, but it's really tough to lose players that you were teammates with for a number of years and friends and move on. But they also, everybody to a man, understands the business. When you're not playing well, the season hasn't gone well, then everybody's vulnerable. Well, not everybody, but you know, people, there's a target on you, right? If you're an asset that somebody wants, you know, that's how it goes. And you're vulnerable when you're not playing well.
Jay, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time.
All right, Jay.
Hey, Joe. All right, Bob, Joe. Great to talk to you guys, too.
See you, buddy.
All right, man. Take care.
Our guests are all nice men, aren't they, Bob?
Yes. Jay has good advice there. And I've watched Charles Barkley also on the range. And, by the way, he couldn't pull the trigger there. He got himself so messed up mentally that you remember his swing where he stopped on the downswing?
Yes. That's happening to me.
It's hard to watch it.
Yeah. And I'm a shell of my former self. I drove the ball better a week into my golf career than now. I'm just. Don't give up. No, I'm mentally destroyed. It happens. I have the yips. It's like Pedro throwing to first, Steve Sachs throwing to first. Remember?
Mackie Sasser can't throw to second.
Yeah. Mackie Sasser.
Who was the guy? Chuck Knobloch. They moved him. Didn't they move him out
Chuck
to the
outfield? Chuck Knobloch. These guys. I have Steve Blast disease. I can't. Really. I'm not kidding.
I mean, it's
about
a mental thing. There's no question about it. You got to work through it somehow.
I don't know how.
I do know a golf hypnotist if you're interested.
You do?
Yeah. Somebody who's done it.
Well.
I wouldn't
maybe
be part of
that. Maybe he'll get me to start smoking instead of stop smoking. All right, Bob. Coming up next. Let's talk a little more about the Steelers. And we have the Limitless Express at the top of the hour. Well, let's go back to this Russell Wilson story. I mean, this is a gigantic, gigantic story. Why does Mike Tomlin not want these guys to have powers to change plays? That's the part that baffles me. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you a minute to think about that, and I'm going to ask you that question coming back. Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson. You'd think as they're declining physically that you'd want to take advantage of their mental games because they've seen everything. They've done everything. They can get you into better plays. I don't get it. Let's talk about it next. First, the Good Feet Store. You've heard me talk before about pain in the joints of my big toes and how I experienced that for years. And when I had things like, I don't know, a New Year's resolution, I would quit. And it's quitting time for everybody right about now, probably a lot of people, because of foot pain. That's where the Good Feet Store comes in. That's where the Good Feet feeling.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, I quit. I think that's the bottom line here. Kirk Herbstreit said the Steelers did too when they were in the playoff game against the Ravens. I'm still trying to grasp this story that Jerry Dulac presented in the Post-Gazette yesterday. Says multiple sources, several sources telling him that Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson didn't agree on the way to play football. Steelers lacked imagination on offense. Wanted to be run first. I mean, to me, that's Mike Tomlin.
Disagreements between OCs and quarterbacks are probably normal. I mean, Sure. Everyone has them.
Oh, of course.
But in this context,
strips their quarterback of his right to change plays at the line.
When you have a veteran quarterback, if this is true, then that's a mistake. It's also something that, I don't know, can be repaired. And you wonder what it means moving forward to Russell Wilson and where he ends up and how this impacts what he does or what they do with him.
Limits, where do you stand on this whole thing?
I mean, I'm surprised that they would take that away from Russ, considering that they weren't allowing Kenny or Justin Fields to do anything creative. Why would they not? That's why they went to Russell Wilson,
in the first place. That's what they had 2 years of dealing with guys who they weren't trustworthy enough to handle that. So they go out and get a veteran who has done a whole career of this stuff, and he's played in high leverage, high stakes games, and he's made decisions that I'm sure were not the original call.
That's what makes no sense here. That's what makes no sense. Why does Mike Tomlin put the handcuffs on late stage Ben and late stage Russ? What do you imagine the reason is? Now, all coaches, almost at every level of sports, are control freaks, but some more than others. Is it just that he can't handle the idea of them going rogue? Like there's too much risk there. It's just unmanageable for him to deal with that. Why would you do that, Bob?
I don't know why. It's still stunning to me that, again, the premise of a veteran quarterback who is going to be in the Hall of Fame, who's had 10 Pro Bowl seasons, he's won a championship, he has been very, very cautious with the football to begin with. This is why, if you should trust anyone, I would think it would be Russell Wilson, because his history suggests not only is he in the top 10 in a lot of offensive categories, but he's one of the best in protecting the football. He's also one of the least intercepted guys in the game. So you should trust that part of it. He makes a decision. I don't think he's looking to be reckless with it or careless with it. His history says he knows that he's got to take care of the football.
I know.
We saw a lot of throwaways this year because of that. But I just a lot of this doesn't add up to me, though.
Unfortunately, in two games against the Ravens, the two regular season games, he made unbelievably careless, horrific throws, like season-changing.
But I think that's part and parcel with the quarterback position. All of them do at some point. Do you penalize him at that point and say, never again? You're not doing it.
No, I don't. But look, Bob, I'm on this show. Or no, this isn't the NHL.
This is Ryan Malone. You think you look like Ryan Malone?
Not even close, but I was at that first Winter Classic.
Yeah, that was terrific.
Which was the best one. And on the NHL Network's documentary on that, I get interviewed, Bob. Did you know
what
that?
What was your take on it? What did they ask you?
They asked me all kinds of things. You know how it
that
works.
That scene was unbelievable.
It was incredible.
And you're right. The first one was always the best one. The snow came down. It was a perfect day for hockey. It's a great day for hockey, although Jerome Bettis last night kind of messed up the message there.
Did he? Yeah. I didn't see that. What did he say?
Well, Austin could probably find it. He was challenged to, you know, basically say like you would do in basketball or baseball, hey, play ball. And it's a great day for hockey. It's a great night for whatever you want to say. And he did something a little bit different. And I don't even remember how it came out.
Well, I'd like to hear it. One thing we didn't talk about, Bob, because, you weren't here yesterday. It was a Tuesday. Was the Cooper Kupp story. Are you in favor of trading for Cooper Kupp? And may I interest you in a gently used George Pickens? Would you do this trade? I got asked this the other day.
George Pickens for Cooper Kupp?
Listen to the trade, Bob. George Pickens and a fifth round pick to the Rams for Cooper Kupp and a second round pick or a third round pick. Would you be interested in that?
I'm of the belief that before there's a trade, they may be a release. In other words, they won't find a trade partner, and he has a bonus coming up. If they still have him under payroll, they got to pay that bonus. So, who knows? I mean, I would like Cooper Kupp for a year or two. That's about it. I know his contract says $31 million, but that can all change based on if he's released or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I like him. I liked him last year when there was thoughts and people were saying the Rams may make a move. I don't know that I want to just – I still want to see what they can get for George Pickens in and of itself.
Do you want them to trade Pickens?
If they can get the right return, yes.
Which is – what's the minimum you would accept?
Second-round pick, just because of the talent. I know that people are going to say that's too high and you can get it for a third or whatever, but I would wait for a second if I could do it.
Well,
I'm also
what about a high third? I mean, what if it were a low second or a high third? Is there that much of a difference?
I guess there's not that much of a difference.
15 picks or so. I'd do that in a second.
But if you keep Pickens and hope he can gather himself and be the kind of receiver that you know he can be, you add Cooper Kupp, you have Roman Wilson, and you draft someone, you can all of a sudden change what is a negative situation now into a really positive one, I think. And I don't know about Roman Wilson now. That whole year without playing, I wonder what that has done and what he can be. And does Calvin Austin still figure in this? Because he had a pretty good year based on what you expect from Calvin Austin.
I don't know about Cooper Kupp. I was with you when it looked in October like they might be moving in a direction to trade him. He had that big 14-catch game to open the season. But then he had a high ankle sprain.
He does get injured.
He gets injured. He's in his 30s now. He's definitely not a needle-moving type guy anymore. He's not a number one receiver. I don't even know if he would be a perfect three on a good team.
Keep in mind, there are a lot of teams that are close enough where they think that, that could be the difference.
Right.
And so they may be willing to do more than the Steelers would do if it came to a trade.
You always have to ask why the Steelers for any receiver. Like T. Higgins to the Steelers? Really? Like,
there's
why
two sides
would he come
of it.
Here?
You have to ask that question. If Cooper Kupp or T. Higgins or anyone else looks at a situation and has control over where he goes, and it looks like the Rams are going to make that possible for him if there is a trade, why would you come here versus some of these other places which have young quarterbacks who are making immediate dividends and strides in the NFL? So, knowing that you don't know what the quarterback situation is here.
Well, stories like the one that Dulac had today don't exactly help you attract free agent receivers, do they?
No, which makes me wonder where that whole story started. Like, I'm just interested to find out what started that.
Sure,
because it's not a good look for the Steelers.
No, but it's not unimaginable that there are people in that organization who would love to speak up about how the Steelers have a Stone Age offense that doesn't work. Right?
I guess.
I don't think that just came from Russell Wilson's camp. It may have started there.
I don't know.
But there's people in every organization on earth who don't like the way things are going in their particular organization.
But you can understand why Russell Wilson's agency group may say, well, you look like you're the fall guy here. We're going to point out that this wasn't all you. This was a situation where they handcuffed you as a quarterback, and your ability to make these kinds of decisions at the line of scrimmage was what they wanted. You know, so I don't know. Weird in many ways.
Now I'm sad, Bob, and I'll tell you why. That commercial just showed a couple little kids jumping in a pool, and I used to love, we would travel a little bit sometimes, even back to Buffalo, stay in a hotel, and my daughter, when she was little, lived for the pool, like hotel pools.
That was like heaven to her.
So we would spend hours with me standing in the pool and her just jumping into my arms. And now it's all gone, Bob.
See, those are the moments you cling on to when they're happening. And if you don't think of it at the time, you should. You know, I tell any young parent, these moments that you have with your young kids, man, these go fast.
They always told me it would go fast and I didn't believe them. And now here I am sitting here. They went fast.
Well, when you have grandkids, you can relive it. Except you won't have the energy to go into a pool for 3 hours and catch your grandkids.
Weren't those the best, Bob?
Oh, I mean, all those.
I remember the first
awesome.
Time she went underwater by accident. She tumbled in, like I was standing there, but she went in head first and she came up and popped her head out of the water with this look of just like just stunned, you know, stunned surprise, but also like I survived. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. There's something bittersweet about all this, isn't there? You've had daughters. You have daughters.
No, I know. I wish I could go back and do that all over again. I really do.
And then I would go home after me and Mulsey did our show and pick her up from daycare, and then she would take a nap on my chest. She was the size of a squirrel. Everything, Bob. Everything's gone.
You can't think of it that way.
Yes, you can.
There's always another chapter, and there are grandkids coming down the road. You'll be happy when that happens.
How many do you have?
4. 3 girls and a boy.
And do they just get dropped off at the house all the time?
My wife, we have a good village of people, family-wise, who are involved, which is great for everyone involved. So fortunately, we haven't had to go to people we don't know or daycares or whatever. So
right.
Those are the moments you want, man. Drop them off. And even though, you know, I hurt myself playing hide-and-go-seek recently. it was bad.
I was just playing knee hockey in the hallway with our video guy. We have a little tiny basketball, and we made up 2 goals and had a miniature game, Bob.
Oh, why didn't I get involved in that?
I told him we should have an NCAA-style tournament where we match up everybody. Limits, are you in on this?
100%.
Would that be unbelievable to have first-round matchups? Like, we played in a narrow hallway, so the 2 goals were 2 doorways, and the only rule is you can't grab the ball. You have to slap it like a stick, and the ball can't go past you above your head. It's got to be a goal below your head. It was an unbelievable battle. And can you imagine some of the matchups? Let's just say Bob against Dunlap in the first round. You against Harry.
Wow.
Right?
Exhilarating matchups.
Me against Pony in the first round. And then we each have like a 3-game series and we advance on a bracket. I'm in.
My friends and I were huge knee hockey connoisseurs growing up, and especially at halftime during the Super Bowl, we would have a traditional knee hockey game that we played for literally like 7 years in a row.
We had those at Dan Doran's house, and the ball was a miniature tinfoil ball. And we would have full hockey regalia. I would have a mask. We used to paint masks like the NHL guys did. So I had a painted mask, little pads, a cloth over my Brett Favre's so you don't get hit with the hard tinfoil ball right in your Favre's, Bob. And then the goals would be maybe under a coffee table for one side, and then you have to hit the couch on the other side. And they would be these ferocious two-on-two battles of knee hockey, Bob. Just unbelievable.
It can get pretty physical.
Yeah, playing goal is incredible because you have to deal with screens and deflections and things like that.
Screens.
So you're flopping around playing goal. They were some of the greatest nights of my life, Limits.
I was a goalie in knee hockey. Usually we did two-on-two knee hockey. And it was one guy would be the bruiser and enforcer and try to go after the puck and try to score. And I was trying to put my right hand up to make a save with the blocker. And like that was Marc-Andre Fleury sliding to the side of the net.
It's the greatest. And you use your hands to hit the ball or the miniature sticks?
Miniature sticks.
We'd use our hands, Bob. What position did you play in knee hockey?
Goalie.
Yeah?
I like goalie. I do think it's like being a catcher in baseball. You're involved all the time. Your focus has got to be there, which I'd like that part of it.
So you would do this? You'd be in this bracket and play?
I guess, sure.
The thing is, we need eye protection. That's the thing I always needed, too, especially if we play with a hard tinfoil ball. It could poke an eye out.
Yeah, I'm not up for that.
We'll get Bob. We'll get Bob some Kareem goggles.
Protect Bob, play. The little Rexpex goggles.
I think we all need them because an injury on the premises here would be very bad.
Yeah, and the people up on top on Mile High here wouldn't like that.
No.
If it became injury at work.
It's all fun and games until somebody's eye pops.
We could have a chip off. There's a long runway here out here.
No. We're playing knee hockey, and I'm going to make up the bracket. If you're in, you're in, and you're playing, whoever it is. And the first round matchups, maybe we should just go young and old, right? Could we bring Ron back for one of these?
Colony's here. You're going to ask
Colony
him.
Is here.
He has
Colony.
A personal trainer now, for God's sakes.
What?
Yes. Did you know that?
Did he tell you that?
Yeah, didn't he? He said did. Her name's Colleen.
That's right. And Bob has one, too.
What does she have her? Wait, what? You have one, too?
I do. I haven't used... his name is Colton, and he's
Colton Orr.
No, he's really good. Colton Rossi,
related to Rob.
From Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. So I go for the Western PA, Aliquippa, Beaver County guys. But he can be rough. But the thing is, I haven't done it recently because of some heart situation I'm dealing with. So I'm waiting for that to hopefully resolve. And when it does, I'll go back to him. But it makes a difference, especially stretching. That's one thing that you got to do more of, Joe. Stretch. It'll help your golf game too.
Did Jim look better to you? Not that he looked bad at any point, but does he look, do you notice any effect of the personal trainer?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen him as often as you guys have. And I
see him
like
once every 4 months.
I think he looks pretty good. Yeah.
He looks happy. That's the thing. He's retired and he's happy.
What's he do all day, Bob?
Goes to see Colleen and gets stretched.
That sounds interesting.
How much time did you spend there, Bob?
I would say no wonder he's happy, but I don't want to offend Linda or anybody else. All right, Bob.
Is it like the 15-minute stretches for the pregame workouts they do on the field before getting ready for the game?
It sounds very – I don't know what it sounds like.
It's athletic, Joe. He's trying to,
Harry Callis has texted me and said, don't forget I have an official knee hockey set. This could be unbelievable, Bob.
Well, if he's in goal, we're going to have a hard time trying to, although he's on Awaken 180, so maybe there are going to be some
openings.
That'd
be like trying to score past a sumo wrestler, right? Which I always
thought. But he's trimming down now, so there could be some angles that are exposed.
He is. He looks good, actually. Why couldn't a sumo wrestler ever have played goal in the NHL? Can you find a human being ever in the history of the world who's large enough to cover up every inch of the net?
And just tell him to stand there.
Or kneel there.
Just don't let anything get by you.
Is that possible? How big is a hockey net? 6x6? What is it?
No, isn't it 6x4?
6x4?
I figured playing the puck behind the net would maybe be difficult for the sumo wrestler on skates.
Well, he doesn't
have
to.
Yeah, but if he never allows a goal, what difference does it make?
It's fair. He could just let it go behind.
Yeah, but has there been a human being shaped like that who's that big, Bob, where there's not even an inch to put the puck in?
Sidney Crosby would find the 1 inch available and put it there. Bank it off his head.
He might. I've often thought about that. And in fact, at Waynesburg, when I was teaching there, our last day of school, we had a knee hockey game right in the classroom.
I think that could be interesting.
You want to be on my team if it's two on twos?
Sure.
All right.
We're in here as a team. We'll do it out there as a team.
Limits, you and Harry, we'll have an exhibition game to see how it works.
Let's do it. I have a net as well that I can bring in.
All right.
Some sticks.
We're on.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.